Help us to understand what you're trying to say to us. And I praise you, Lord, for the ministry that is Tom's and yours. In your blessed name, amen.
Thank you, Angie. So, if we can start, where do we begin this holy habits stuff? We've got a topic for the first 6 weeks, which is biblical teaching. We're going to be looking at over the next 6 weeks at this topic of biblical teaching. I'm sure all of us have had, at some extent, some biblical teaching. We've encountered the Bible before now. We are perhaps familiar with what the Bible is. Mine looks like this. Yeah, it's a bit odd. It's true. I sat on it for 5 years, so that's why it looks like that. I have another. Well, this is the Old Testament. This is the Hebrew Bible, if anybody feels inclined to come and look later. This is the Old Testament in Hebrew. This is the New Testament in Greek. And this is the Bible in English. Now, you should be proximate to at least one copy of this in the and if you want to lay hold of it, that would be good. Because when we pick this up, where do we begin? We're starting this topic on biblical teaching, but that could mean all sorts of things. So I don't know about you, but it leaves me with a few questions. If we think about biblical teaching, what is biblical teaching? Is it teaching from the Bible? Is it teaching that's contained in the Bible? And if so, is that one thing or many things? Because if you've ever tried reading the Bible, you realize it's not just about one thing. There's lots of things in there. Or is it teaching that we do with the Bible? And if that's the case, what is it that we should be doing? Right. So far, so confusing. I'm not sure really that helps in any way. But if we take a step back, maybe we can answer this more basic question. What is the Bible anyway? Maybe if we can answer this question, we have a better idea of how to answer the question, what is biblical teaching? The Bible is a collection of other books. These books give the account of God's action in the world and his purpose with the whole of creation. The writing of the Bible took place over at least 16 centuries and is the work of over 40 human authors. It's quite an amazing collection of 66 books with very different styles, all containing the message that God desired for us to have. And if you take this copy of the Bible and you're a Roman Catholic, there's even 18 more that you can go through. So up to nearly 80 books contained in here. 66 that we usually consult. This compilation of booklets contains an astonishing variety of literary styles, which is why those square hexagons up there are all in different colours, because that represents all of the different styles you get in here. It comes in narrative, stories, and dialogue, conversation. It comes in legal tracts. It comes in proverbs and parables. It comes in songs and allegories. It comes in letters and lists. And it comes in history and prophecy. Leaves us a little bit confused, perhaps, as to where to start. But all of these things tell us many stories and other accounts about the lives of good and bad people, about battles and journeys, about the life of Jesus and about early church activity. The accounts in the Bible were not generally written down as they occurred. Rather, most of them were told over and over again and handed down through many years before eventually being written down. And none of them were written directly for us. Yet the same themes may be found running throughout the whole collection of these books. Along with the wide diversity and range of topics and subjects in here, there is remarkable unity about its message. And this has led many people over the years to try and find that one thing that unifies the whole thing, the one theme that the Bible is about. This would be the biblical teaching. The problem is, it's not quite that simple. There are many themes running through the Bible, and these might just be a few of them that I culled last night. I'm not going to go through all of these now, you'd be glad to know. But there's 12 there. 16. Somebody can count, it's good. Well done. 16 topics, themes that run through the entire Bible. Which one's the most important? Yes. The answer is yes. They're all important. Because this is the story of how God has met with his people and deals with the whole of creation throughout history. And because the Bible wasn't written as one single book, and when it was being written, the people who were writing it didn't know how it would be used by us thousands of years later, there is nowhere in the Bible that exactly sums up what it's supposed to be about. That might come as a surprise. But the value of what it contains as knowledge and understanding are things that we must work for. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, Jesus says, "In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets." Well, the law and the prophets is used as a convenient way of summing up the Old Testament. So, there is a summary. Do unto others as you would have them do to you, for this is the whole of the New Testament, the whole of the Old Testament. It's a convenient way of summing up everything the Jewish scriptures were saying. But Jesus is quite clear from reading this verse that we can't just read the Old Testament. We have to do to others all the things we would want from them that the law and the prophets talk about. Kindness, love, generosity, hospitality, holiness, righteousness, friendship, to name but a few. This is why we have to study it, to learn it, to remember it, to think with it, to speak it, in order that we can act on it. Indeed, when I was ordained last summer, the words spoken over me and the others there were these: deacons, servants of the church, are to seek nourishment from the scriptures. They are to study them with God's people, that the whole church may be equipped to live out the gospel in the world. This is why just now we heard of Moses telling the people that the commands he gave them should be on their hearts. And so we thank Angie for having that symbol that we can hold in our hands. This must be on our hearts When the word of God dwells in us richly, it is the way God can reshape us to fulfill that greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our being and with all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. If you're familiar with that passage, you will know he goes on to say, why do we do this? Why are those the greatest commandments? Because on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your being, and love your neighbor as yourself. This sums up all of what the Jewish scriptures were saying. The thing about summaries, of course, is we can't exist on summaries. We can't rigidly apply them to every situation we ever come across. So we have to study the Bible. We have to store it up. As the song we sang last week said, store up good in your heart. Because what we think comes out of us. We have to store up the Bible so that we can better understand what God is asking of us. But the way we read the Bible and how we understand it are directly influenced by the way we think about God and what we have been taught about him. Sometimes that's reverent. This is Rembrandt, who was most reverent in his approach. So sometimes the way we think about God is reverent, and sometimes it's not. This is Monty Python and the Holy Grail, for those that maybe didn't get it. But the point being that much of the thinking we do about God has come over the years from the Bible itself. So why do we treat the Bible with such respect and authority? Because we also believe that God has been in charge of how he communicates himself to humanity. When it comes to the Bible and how these scriptures were put together over the course of those 16 centuries, how they were eventually written down and shaped together, this is known as inspiration. That God inspired, literally breathed into, by the power of his Holy Spirit, the people who wrote this text. And what we have now is somehow the best of what he wishes to communicate to us. Now, Jews and Christians have always understood this. For thousands of years, we have been known as the people of the book. This is why the Bible is called holy. It is scriptures that are reserved from common usage. They become a sacrament, that is, an outward and visible sign of inward and spiritual grace, something that shows on the outside what is true on the inside. They are holy because they are associated with God, who is holy. But it doesn't stop there. As we will hear over the next few weeks, Christians believe that actually the scriptures point eventually to one thing and one thing only, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. The Gospels were written precisely for this purpose, and the rest of the New Testament is trying to make sense of it. Indeed, in Luke's Gospel, he tells us of how Jesus met some of his followers after he'd come back to life, walking along the road from Jerusalem to a village called Emmaus. And Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. So the Old Testament points to Jesus. The New Testament is trying to explain how and why, and we, here and now, are back at the question we started with. What is the Bible? The Bible is a collection of books that record God's action throughout history, in the world of creation, and with the people that he chooses to come to him. This all comes together in the one outrageous, scandalous, and utterly amazing reality that this same God of all creation came to earth as a human being. The Bible is a witness to this one event of how God, in the man Jesus, was bringing all of creation back to himself. Why was he doing this? And why he needed to? Those are perhaps stories for another day. But as we begin this series on holy habits, it's based on one idea from Acts 2:42, that the people who believed in Jesus because of the power of miraculous signs and wonders, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the teaching about Jesus, the teaching we find in the Bible. Please come along to house groups, come back to church, hear the word of God spoken and discussed. Delve into this stuff, learn this stuff, eat this stuff, fill up your lives with the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Amen.